A warning up at the top, obviously, based on the title of the book, there will be swearing during this event.
I mean, I thought maybe it would be censored swearing just because, the title is now unfortunately censored.
I know. Never forget. Never
I
forget.
know. They actually said that I was trying to push them to leave it, and they're like, we actually have to censor it because media outlets, like our emails will just go to spam if we don't. Because
Oh,
they'll assume that it's
interesting.
just like an angry person
Oh,
who
that's
wants to
so
rant at
funny.
the New York Times or whatever. So they're like, yeah, they won't even answer our emails.
Fascinating. Yeah, no, actually that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, 'cause I was going to ask about like pushback on the title, but yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense.
So I was bummed to have to lose the original title, but at the same time, hey, you got to make some compromises here and there, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hello and welcome to the Laydown Podcast and Gibson's Virtual Events. I'm Ryan and I am so stoked to chat tonight with the author of Man, Fuck This House and Other Disasters, Brian Asman. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Hey Ryan, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Oh my God, I'm so stoked. So I was telling you about this in the green room, but I read your original short story, Man, Fuck This House, years ago for a book club that I was in, and we loved it so much. And one of the things we kept saying was, oh my God, I just wish there was more. I just, this story is so, there's so, it's so good, and I want more. I want more character growth. I want more of the house being crazy. I want more. And so imagine my delight when a little while after I, to my chagrin, discovered that Man, Fuck This House was going out of print, I heard about this and I got this beautiful giant advanced reader copy in the mail of Man, Fuck This House and Other Disasters. And I opened it up and I was like, oh wow. Oh, it just keeps going. Oh my God. Wait, this is so much longer. And for those who are watching, I will compare the two. It's a chonky boy. So how much different, I mean, I know because I've read them both, but how much different is the new version of this story in this collection?
It's quite a bit different. So a lot of the main beats are the same, but there are new chapters added that really flesh out the story. And for example, in the first edition, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Here we go all the way to Friday. And so some events have been shifted around. Like I said, there's a whole new day, new locations, a character that you get to meet in this that you didn't get to meet in the previous one. And, just some sections have been kind of reworked and revised since I had the opportunity to tinker with my prose a bit. And I've added in some new Easter eggs, even from the actually even from the ARC version. I have some new Easter eggs in the final print version. So,
Ooh,
and
fun.
then of course there's also six additional short stories that were added as well, two of which we've already sold to Hollywood.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. That's so cool. Are you allowed to say which two?
I think so. So Hurly Burly, and the other one is In the Rushes. So those are the
Oh.
two that are in various stages of development right now. We have a script for the Hurly Burly
Nice.
right now that is currently being shopped around. So we'll see what happens with that one. And then Rushes, there's a fantastic pitch out there that our screenwriting partners came up with. And so like I said, there's they've been optioned, but there's like a long road, and we have to convince a whole lot of people to invest in the concept. So,
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
really amazing though that we've come this far.
That is so cool. I loved reading this collection because the original story, the titular story, is it's fun horror. It's like a little silly, goofy. It still has some really scary parts, but is like ultimately you're just like, oh, it's so absurd that like it's like you're buying it for the title, right? Initially, like you don't care what it's about, and then you start reading it and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. The other stories, I was so shocked by how terrifying they are. I was like,
Thank
oh my
you.
God, Brian.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh my God. The hurly burly just gave me some shivers. The 7 years really messed me up.
Yeah, that one messes me up. Like a lot of time I'll take something I'm sort of afraid of and decide to write about it. And one of my weird fears is like, if I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I will not look in the mirror. Not because I think I'm going to see a ghost, but because in that kind of fuzzy, like, kind of sleep brain way, I'm worried that I might see something that my sleep deprived brain thinks is a ghost, and then I'll freak out and not be able to get back to sleep.
Totally fair. Yeah,
So,
mirrors just blah.
I
Mirrors
wish
and
I could remember
horror.
the book too, but I remember reading a book when I was like a little kid about like I think it was set in like a theater or something like that, and there was like a in the actor's dressing room, there was like a ghost in the mirror there,
Oof.
and God, I wish I could remember what it was, but it scared the hell out of me as a kid. So I think that's part of where the fear came from. So even when I grew up and I'm like, I'm not very superstitious, I'm pretty, I think of myself as a fairly rational person. But I mean, I think there are rational reasons why you don't want to look into a mirror at night. And that's my personal opinion. And so yeah, the 7 years really stemmed from that. It was kind of thinking through like the mirror fear, and then also me kind of wanting to create like a 80s style kind of like supernatural slasher of my own. And so I realized that the original title was 7 Years Bad Luck. And so I was like thinking along the lines of things like April Fool's Day or Friday the 13th. And that was like, the 7 Years Bad Luck thing was one that they never made a movie out of. Right.
That's
And
true.
I was like, what can I do with that? So,
How
and
can you
here we
play with
are.
that? Yeah, the all seven stories in this collection are wild. So you've got Man Fuck This House, crazy demonic haunted house. I like to just call it the smart house horror novel that all the millennials need.
Like it, like it.
You've got Beware the Hurly Burly, internet meme gone wrong. Again, horror for the millennials, man. Like, oh God, don't
I
look at
mean,
the selfie you just took.
yeah, like I'm technically a millennial. I like to say I'm culturally Gen X though, but I am, writing to a millennial market now very much. So,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
hopefully even some Zoomers. Hopefully I can get the kids away from
Oh,
their
yeah.
darn cotton candy vapes or whatever the hell they're doing these days, and their dubstep, or is that even still cool? I have no idea. And like open a book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, they're gonna love this. 7 years we talked about scary mirror horror. Ah. In the rushes, which you mentioned earlier, we've got some cyclists dealing with some hauntings and oh dear God.
Yeah,
Oh,
so
they
that
really deal with it.
funny story about that one. That's actually also based on something that sort of happened to me. And let me explain the genesis of it in a way that actually makes sense, like
Okay.
where the inspiration goes. It's not like the story is completely fictional, for the most part.
That we know.
Yeah, but so it's about a mother and daughter who are out cycling on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway here. And it's a really beautiful, like amazing ride as a cyclist. But there's also, there's some hills and things like that that are, I was on the hills. It's like kind of right before you get to Carlsbad when you're going north on PCH. I was going up and down these hills, and having a grand old time. And I get to the bottom of one of the hills and I'm on the straightaway again. I'm just kind of cruising. And then all of a sudden, my brake cable snaps.
No.
Yeah. And so I luckily at that point I was on the straightaway and there was like kind of like another incline coming up. So I was able to get stopped, no problem. And then, walked my bike to the nearest train station and then took the train to a bike store, which just happened to be at the next train stop. So
Nice.
everything worked out okay.
Phew.
But I was just like, man, that was a really terrifying experience because if it happened under different circumstances, I could have easily gotten hurt. pretty badly. And so that got me thinking about the terrifying things that can happen when you're a cyclist. And so from there, my mind just went to this sort of urban legend where like a stretch of highway is haunted by a ghost, and sometimes, you'll hear a name whispered in your ear and you think maybe it's just the wind, and then, later you find that that person is dead. Like you open the paper and someone by that name has been killed in a car accident on PCH, So that's kind of the genesis of the story,
Oh,
where it came
so
from.
good.
And then the original version was actually really different. It was much shorter. It's more like a flash piece with a major downer ending. So it was just the mother gets this name whispered in her ear, and as she's puzzling it over, she has the realization, then rounds a curb and sees that her daughter's been pancaked by a car
Oh
and is just
no.
dead.
Oh no.
Sport yeah sorry sorry I, spoiler alert for the version of the story that you can't read because it's not in this book. So
I
the
do
story is much
prefer this
different.
one.
Yeah.
Oh my
Went in
God.
a completely different direction, but that was my original like crazy downer ending on that one.
Wow. Oh man.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that one. I'm glad you mentioned that that one is one of the ones potentially making its way to Hollywood, because that one's super cinematic.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, they all are, but that one I've like was vividly picturing things, so that I think would translate really well.
Yeah, and it's got like a strong emotional core too, I think, that would translate well. And it's generally, I think when we're talking about like pitching stuff to Hollywood, we want to go with a concept that's like simple and understandable, but also unique. It's trying to find those ideas that are, really just gonna be like, okay, this is not like anything you've se quite seen before, but it's simple enough that it can easily be understood.
And horror is so good for those kind of like, it's tapping into so many vulnerabilities and so many things. So it's so good at being like, here's the horror level, and then here's all the stuff underneath that is,
Yeah.
the gooey metaphors for, mother-daughter trauma bonding and
Yes, exactly.
No, I love that. I love being able to dig deeper into horror and being like, oh, that's what this is
Yeah.
about.
Yeah. And I like if we like I would love to get into spoilers about that one because there's like a definitely a layer of metaphor there, especially in the climax of the story. That is, I hope someone digs into as part of their book club.
That's the thing. This anthology or collection is going to be such a good book club pick because all of the stories are so rich in their own thing. Like they're all so good and they all tackle such different things. Like how do you choose what goes into a collection like this?
Oh, that's a great question. So in this case, the process was my editor at Blackstone, who is also my film agent, was like, "Can you just send me a list of every short story you've ever written with a log line?"
Oh my God.
So I sent him an Excel spreadsheet with like 100 stories in there, and he went through those and was like, "Okay, send me these 20." And then he had one of his assistants help him go through them and then settled on, "Hey, here are the ones that I really think are the right stories for this collection." And I think originally we had like 10 possibles, and I had the final say as far as like what we were actually going to put in there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of it's a little bit unusual to really have this much focus on adaptation with a collection, but hey, I've got a great opportunity, and we work really closely together and on figuring out like what's going to be most enticing for studios. So.
And I love that there are at least a few of the stories that have this like urban legend aspect to them,
Yeah.
which again, I think people in our generation are very into an urban legend for like, we eat it up. I'm like,
Yeah,
well, haunted
yeah.
outhouse? Yes, thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Like that's one of my favorite ones in the collection. That's one I actually had to fight for a little bit.
Oh God, I
Just
love it.
because the concept sounds kind of ridiculous. But when when I was writing the story, I didn't want to go within the obvious direction. Like, just for your listeners, there's no like Kevin Smith's Dogma. There's no like poop monster or anything like that, which I feel like I have to explain in interviews. But I'm like, if I'm gonna get away with doing a haunted outhouse story, it has to actually be scary, I think. And it can't go where you expect it to go. Otherwise, that's just lazy and not worth doing. So. It's kind of one of those things. It's also kind of like in the main novella, Man, Fuck This House, right? The only profanity in it at all is when one character says the title. Otherwise, there's not even a hell. And the reason for that was I felt like, with the title, if I just wrote a book that was completely profane, that was just too expected. And I wanted to, it's kind of funny. I've had people in reading group, like in online like book groups, say like, when they're looking at someone's soliciting like book ideas for teenagers, or younger teens and everything, and people have recommended this book and said like, look, other than the title, this book is actually squeaky clean and perfect for kids,
And has some of the most fun characters. Damien is just, I love him so much. This precocious little not demon.
He was so much fun to write, and that's why I was so glad I got to go back to this novella and actually expand on it and throw in some more Damien. There's more Sabrina, and there's also much more Damien, and he has some additional challenges he didn't have in the first version. And that was just so much fun getting to revisit his character. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Oh my God, he's so great. He's such a, and Sabrina too, I love. And I just, yeah, I love that story so much. I was so glad that you got to revise it and put it in this amazing collection. So what, thinking of specifically the titular essay or essay, no, novella,
It is kind
Man,
of an
Fuck This House.
essay. It's kind of a treatise on certain things, in my opinion. It's a treatise on family and like relationships and love and our
And
relationships with our surroundings. It's yeah. Anyway, sorry.
yes. I could write a whole thesis about this. But what was that initial seed for that one? Where did Man Fuck This House come from?
So it started as a tweet. So I just tweeted, you know what would be a really great name for a haunted house book? And a bunch of people were like, yeah, that is a great title. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll just go write this now. And I wrote the first draft in about 6 weeks. It just, it was a very quick book generally, and it essentially wrote itself for the most part. But there were a couple of things that inspired me about it. My original concept for the book was going to be like a fratty Van Wilder style ghost comedy, like that's set in like a college like fraternity house or something. And it's like a ghost where like, I don't know, someone wakes up in their room in the morning and there's like a dick drawn on their face, but the door was locked and they're like, who could have drawn this dick on my face? That's my original concept. And like, oh, like who stole the weed and like what happened to the beer bong and like all this stuff. And as I was going through, one of my friends, I'm a Christian, like she kind of said something like she was like this tweet and I'll say something out of pocket about you.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, okay, sure, I'll play because I'm always interested to hear stuff like that. I have no idea how other people perceive me. And I thought it would be interesting. And she was like, I feel like you write exclusively for bros and it makes me feel left out. And so immediately I just said to myself, you know what? I cannot do a Van Wilder style ghost comedy. I cannot do Animal House meets Poltergeist. Like that's just not something I'm gonna do right now. And actually that comment, not just like kind of, the setting and everything, making me pivot towards, a family, but also the tone changed. Yeah, it's still funny, but I think it hopefully works as a legitimate horror story as well. And I just kind of went away from like the spoof gag type stuff, kind of like the Wayans Brothers style scary movie thing, which it could have become, and tried to do something a little bit different. There are some points I think where it borders on parody, like with the middle school teacher who's teaching Zack Snyder's 300 as history, which is one of
Love
my
him.
favorite things I've ever written.
I
Like
love that teacher so much.
yeah, because I think that specifically came from the fact I didn't have a teacher like that, but I always felt like school was a bit absurd in a lot of ways. And just kind of as a child, like going like, what is with these adults? None of this makes sense.
I love
So
that.
that's kind of how this became a story about a family. And then there was one other big influence. In the early 2000s, there was a coffee table book called Post Secret, where people could write in and just submit their secrets.
Yeah, I remember
Yeah,
this.
and I remember standing in the old Walden Books in Horton Plaza in downtown San Diego and leafing through this. Like, I think I was waiting to go to a movie or something like that. It might have been Zack Snyder's 300, actually, because I remember I saw it at Horton Plaza,
Amazing.
by the way, if for your listeners who are not, in Southern California, look up Horton Plaza because it's the most insane, chaotic shopping center that has ever been built. It's like an M.C. Escher like drawing, basically, but you can walk around it.
Oh my
It's
God.
freaking bizarre.
I love that.
But anyway, I'm leafing through this book, Post Secret, and one of the secrets was I love one of my children.
Oh. Yeah.
And that was the other inspiration for this book, was kind of exploring like family relationships and unorthodox family relationships, and kind of giving voice to the fact that, like, I wanted to give a voice to the person in that book who wrote it. Their only outlet for how they felt was this book.
Yeah.
And that's probably not too common, but who knows, right? Because you ask any parent who their favorite kid is, they always have a very diplomatic answer, and I've never quite believed that. I'm like, I want to, I was kind of inspired to think about, like, with our relationships with our family, how much of those relationships are just constructed in our heads? How much of those are based on societal pressures to view things in a certain way? Or evolutionary pressures to view things in a certain way? How much of those are based on something that's quote unquote real? I don't know, like, whatever that even means.
Sure.
That's something I wanted to explore. It was like, what would it look like if, like, a mother who is, suffering from postpartum depression and also kind of never really didn't not want to have kids, but didn't also want to have kids either, because she never really figured out what she wanted in life. And she's just kind of gone with the flow of life because she hasn't had enough imagination to really picture herself doing
Yeah.
anything, So she's like, okay, this seems like a fine way to pass the time, and like, what would happen if she, in that postpartum depression, she realizes she doesn't love one of these children, and that children also just happen to be incredibly intelligent, and a child who can pick up on this. And then there's certain things she's projecting onto the child, and the child, instead of just kind of like on a subconscious level reenacting them, on a conscious level goes, I'm going to give her what she wants.
Yeah.
Because children, like pets, will try to please you,
Yeah.
because you are essentially God to them. They must pacify the angry God that determines whether they continue to exist or not, frankly.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of where it grew from, where the relationship between Sabrina and Damien grew from. And I think this conversation might be making her sound villainous, which she
And
is.
she's really not.
She's someone she's someone
Complicated.
who I have a lot of sympathy for,
Yeah.
and despite the fact that, like, her circumstances are often of her own making, and I just want to explore that too, where, like, sometimes, like, you end up in places where you're not really happy, and it's not necessarily anyone else's fault either. You just make these decisions, and then you make the best of what you lay in the bed that you made, and see what happens from there. So
Yeah, their relationship is so interesting to me, and I think about 'cause yeah, she dealt with this postpartum depression, and Damien absorbed his twin in the womb, so she, instantly was thinking of him in this sort of monstrous way. And I find it so interesting the way he chooses to act around her and to be kind of like, all right, you see me as a demon, I'm gonna act like a demon, but also like I'm, riding the bus and I'm playing like whatever Animal Crossing. Like, he's like, he's a normal kid, but around her, he's like this very sullen, demonic seeming child. And I think about that scene in Hereditary where Toni Collette's like, "You never cried as a baby." And it's like there are like, mental health matters. And
Yes,
like, imagine
absolutely.
having this baby that your brain is like, this baby is evil, and then that baby is not like a normal baby, not like your other baby, right? And you've only ever had this other baby who was this like smiley, happy little thing, and then you have this like very quiet, sullen little thing. And yeah, I think she's so interesting, and I think it's so funny to me that Damien is like clocks that, and he's like, "I'm gonna fuck with my mom." Like his sister's like, "Could you just not?" And he's like, "No, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I have no end game. I'm just gonna do it."
He's just gonna do it. And that's part of the thing. It's like, he kind of like talks like he has this grand plan, but he's also just a child. And his grand plan is kind of utterly silly and preposterous, and involves a trip to the Forever 31, which is the Halloween store, which I really, really was proud of
I
myself,
chuckled at
patting
that.
myself on the
That was a good
back
one.
for that one. But yeah, I should also note too that one of my big influences for the relationship between Sabrina and Damien was the book We Need to Talk About Kevin by Lionel Shriver. I don't know if you've read
Yes,
it,
that's a
but
great book.
yeah, fantastic book. And I mean, I actually classify, I know that's usually shelved in the literary section, but I consider that to be a horror novel.
I can
You
see that.
know, it's pretty horrifying. There's a lot of horror in it. And so that, yeah, that was one of the big influences for that, and this is obviously, different characters with a different relationship, but that idea of like, giving birth to this thing and then like, not understanding it and being afraid of it, or disliking it, and then how that creature would respond. It's and I think there's a little bit of Frankenstein in this too.
Ooh, yeah.
Kind of, the whole being horrified by your creation and then rejecting it, and then that creation being intelligent and going like, I never asked to be here, what the hell? You don't get to do this to me.
This is not my fault.
Yeah, exactly. I never asked for any of this. So yeah, I'm a little bit of an anti-natalist thanks to Thomas Ligotti. And so some of that is a little bit in there, this kind of offended at, this sort of taking offense at your own existence, basically, because children can't consent to being born. And it's like, oh, if you ask someone, would you want to have existed or not have existed? Like, when you start puzzling over that, it becomes kind of messed up, and I've had some sleepless nights, again, thanks to Mr. Ligotti, mostly, and me going down rabbit holes after I started learning about like his various philosophies. So.
Incredible. And then you throw all of that into a haunted house.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
Because I think haunted houses, the power of them is it always exacerbates what's already there. Or at least any good haunted house story is not just about the ghosts, but it's about the characters, their relationships, and how they react to this. And that frequently comes out in the form of like characters who are having experiences and aren't believed. And there's sort of an existing distrust that amplifies between characters, or existing feelings of like not belonging or worthlessness or various things, and the haunted house is a great way to bring those things to the surface.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had Rachel Harrison on the podcast to talk about her new
Yay.
book, Play Nice, which
Oh, she's the best.
absolutely, she's the best. And it absolutely tackles that exact thing of like, God forbid a woman has an opinion that's different than yours, and everyone just says, "Oh, she's crazy." But it's like, is she, or is she actually dealing with this thing, and you just don't want to believe her because what she's saying is not what you have chosen to believe? And it just like, and you're right, like a haunted house is the perfect vessel for examining that kind of phenomenon of our own society.
Yeah, and I think it also kind of it traps people in a certain way too, because you when your own home betrays you, where else do you have to go? Nowhere,
Right.
right?
Yep.
And you know, the place where you're supposed to feel safe is no longer safe, you know, and that speaks to a lot of fears of people who grew up in households with abuse and trauma as well,
Yeah.
right? And
Yeah.
so yeah, it's a very versatile vehicle.
It is. It's what a great book. you play a lot with horror tropes in your stories. Is there a favorite trope of yours? And do you prefer following the expected outcome, or do you prefer the subversion of it?
Oh, good question. I'm not sure if I have a favorite trope. Like I like most tropes, for the most part. I'm not a huge possession person.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one where I don't have a ton of interest in those stories. But any good creature feature, slashers, haunted house stuff, you know, the kind of the weird neighbors, things like that. Like, you know, just I mean, just a billions of them, right? I just You know, I body horror, just I love so many of them. But I will say, like, anytime I'm writing about a trope, I do want to figure out how to subvert it some. I don't want to just do a cookie cutter, like, this is the thing that you've seen a million times, just done in my voice. Like, because I want to, you know, just figure out something new to say about it. So,
Yeah.
like, in my werewolf book, Good Dogs, for example, you know, that's about, you know, lycanthropy as like a chronic condition, you know, and I had a chronic health condition for a while I was grappling with that would like flare up every couple months and then sort of ruin my week.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, in Good Dogs, like their condition where they, you know, every couple months they wolf out for a few nights. That was very much inspired by like, you know, having like an abscess that was flaring up every couple months and super painful. And, especially when I'd have like, you know, a vacation coming up or something like that. And then right before this happened, like right before Thanksgiving one year, it's like I had this thing flare up and it just ruined like next 4 or 5 days of, you know, and I felt sick. I was so angry that I'm like, why couldn't this have at least happened like when I wasn't on vacation? You know? So anyway, that's all my chronic health issue, if anyone was wondering about that. It's fine now, luckily. I had
Oh,
yeah,
good.
it's all fine now. Haven't had an issue in years. But that was like, you know, a lot of the inspiration there. And so, yeah, when every time I'm doing a trope, I just want to figure out something new and interesting to do with it. So.
That's so fun. Yeah, I definitely clocked that a few times going through the stories of like you think it's gonna go one way and then it zags and you're like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. You know, that's my thing is like, if you read one of my books, you can love it, you can hate it, but first of all, I don't want you to feel ambivalent. And I don't want you to feel like I did anything other than bring my best effort, even if it didn't work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a friend who he always talks about how as long as something can make him feel something, no matter what that feeling is, he's going to rate it more highly than something that left him completely neutral. He's like, even if I saw a movie and I absolutely hated it, the rage that I felt meant that the movie was doing something.
Yes,
And I
exactly.
kind of love that outlook on life of like, it did make you feel something. Like it did
Yes.
something. And
Yep,
I love that.
exactly. Yeah, I completely agree. That's why I consume books, why I read books, why I watch movies, why I watch TV is, you know, well, now I do it a lot of time to learn, but primarily the idea is that you want to feel something, feel anything. You know? And if that's rage, then at least that's something, you know.
It's not neutrality, which is just you got to feel something.
Yep, exactly.
We are officially in spooky season. What are the ways that you celebrate this, the best month of the year?
Ooh, good question. So first, I decorate. So yeah, I have my outdoor area is all decorated. My neighbors love it. They say they always look forward to it every year. One of them was like, I didn't actually realize it was October until I saw your decorations go up.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I do that. I go to haunted houses when I can.
Nice.
Right now, because I've got book tours this year and last year, I haven't really gotten to do a lot of the Halloween stuff I used to do, just because I've just been busy as hell. with promoting books. I am doing a murder mystery night later this month
Cool.
at my friend John Cohn's house, who is the author of Slash Tag, amongst other books, which is
Amazing.
really excellent, kind of reality show, haunted house slasher. I recommend everyone check out.
Amazing.
Him and his wife are hosting a murder mystery night, so that's something spooky and seasonal I'll do. And then obviously I get some pumpkin beers. I got those in the fridge downstairs, and I
Excellent.
have a bunch of yearly rewatches that I try to hit.
Nice.
Trick or Treat, obviously.
Love.
And then Tales of Halloween, which is along the same lines. Hell House LLC,
I
just the
love
first
that
one.
book. Yeah, just the
Yeah,
first one.
just
The
the first
rest
one.
don't exist.
Yeah, although I found Origins to actually be really good, so I might rewatch that one too. The other ones, though, not so much. And the less said about 826 Forest Road, the better. My God, Ordinary, I don't like talking smack about indie films at all because I think it's impressive anytime a film gets made.
For
But I feel
sure.
like when someone makes one of my top 10 movies of all time and then also makes one of my bottom 10 movies of all time, that is worth commenting on.
Yeah, that's
Because
tough. That's tough.
I'm like, dude, you have greatness in you. How? How?
Right. What did you
How?
do? What
Yeah.
happened?
I do not understand. Oh yeah, other ones, WNUF Halloween special, which is one of
Yes.
my, one, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it is amazing. So it's
Interesting.
a it is a parody of a lost 1980s network television Halloween special, kind of
Ooh,
like a 60 minute style thing where like a intrepid reporter goes to a supposedly haunted house. And so it cuts between that, and it cuts between like commercials that are all like period commercials. But some of them will be like for a carpet store or like a pizza restaurant that doesn't exist, or like a TV show. Like they'll have like a 30-second spot for some show called Star Crusaders that looks like it was like a 1985 like ABC like primetime sci-fi show or something like that, you know?
Wow.
It's the amount of care and attention that goes into every frame of this movie is amazing.
Oh,
So I
I
highly
love
recommend
that.
everyone check it out. It is you got to see it, and it will become one of your seasonal rewatches too, I think.
Oh, I love that. I love
And
that.
then obviously a couple from the Halloween franchise,
Oh, of course.
I will have to throw in there.
Yep.
And then I also just watched VHS Halloween, by the way, speaking of Halloween movies. Yeah, I just
That's a fun
watched that
one.
one. A couple solid segments, but a couple kind of baffling choices as well, amongst other things. So it's kind of a very much a mixed bag. Most of those movies are to me, but like this one was more of a mixed bag than usual. Paco Plaza's segment, he's the guy who did Wreck.
Oh, yeah.
His segment was
So
amazing.
good.
I don't know if you've seen this already, this movie yet, have
I
you?
haven't seen VHS Halloween yet.
Okay.
I've seen, I think one of the I watched one last year while carving pumpkins, so I like half watched
Okay.
it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good series of movies to put on while you're doing other things, frankly. No disrespect to the filmmakers, but like, it's like short segments that you can kind of dip in and out of, and it's good Halloween background.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Absolutely.
yeah, so I think those
Amazing.
are my big traditions. I'm
Love that.
not unfortunately, I'm going to be on a plane for ha on Halloween Day itself this year.
Ooh.
I'm going to be flying to Baton Rouge for the Louisiana Book Festival.
Ooh,
It's
that's
which
fun.
should be cool. And then I'm doing an event the following Sunday at Octavia Books in New Orleans.
Oh,
So I'll
nice.
be in New Orleans around Halloween,
That's
but
gonna be
not on
awesome.
Halloween. But yeah, that'll be rad.
That's
It's
gonna be
we're
sweet.
doing an event at a bookstore there. It's me, Philip Fracassi, and
Love him.
Christina Henry are
Oh,
all
love her.
teaming up. So it's a pretty solid bill. So if any of your listeners are anywhere near New Orleans on November 2nd, Octavia Books, check it out.
I love that. I love that. You're gonna see so many vampires.
Yes, there's a vampire cafe I really want to go to.
Oh, amazing.
So I've started making my list of all the stuff I need to do in New Orleans while I'm there, because I booked it, so I have like a free day,
Oh, good.
basically.
That's
So I'm excited.
incredible. Yeah, that's a bucket list for me. New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans anytime, but New Orleans during spooky season is like, oh, it must just be so cool. There are so many cool spots and They really go all in
Oh, it's going to
on
be
that.
great. Yeah.
That's
It's
going to be
going to be great.
amazing. I will leave a couple minutes to see just if anybody has any questions in the chat. But I'm gonna put you on the spot and ask you for some book recommendations.
Okay.
What are some horror novels you've read recently that you liked?
Oh, okay. So Philip Fracassi's The Autumn Springs Retirement Home Massacre. I just finished that one. That is
Yes.
such a cool take on a slasher. And it was a really, really neat book. A lot of in some of the most captivating characters I've read this year.
Agreed.
That's been utterly fantastic. Let's see what else. Another slasher, like more unorthodox slasher, is Brian McCauley's Breathe In, Bleed Out,
Yes.
which I enjoyed
So
quite a bit.
good.
I just did an event with him here in San Diego at Mysterious Galaxy a couple weeks
He's
ago
awesome.
for the release, which was super fun. Then we got dinner at a horror-themed brewery
Oh my
and then
God.
went to a three-story arcade. So we had a blast
What a
and
night.
ended the night at this bar called Trailer Park After Dark, which is a trailer park themed basement bar in downtown. So that was a lot of fun. Now I'm just giving recommendations for places to go get drunk when you're in San Diego.
Oh, I love it.
A couple others this year that I really enjoyed. Natalie Pinter's A Wasp for a Fig, which actually just came out yesterday. It's a
Amazing.
folk horror book. And it was really, really unique and cool. It's kind of like a sort of a Greek mythology Lotus Eaters thing. So it's kind of like folk horror, but not European folk horror.
Amazing.
It's like
Okay.
Greek folk horror kind of.
That is so interesting. I love that.
Yeah, it's it
Very
was a different.
cool.
That's what caught me about it. It was like totally a different take
Yeah.
on the genre. And so yeah, it just kind of I was like, oh, that's really cool.
That is really cool.
And let's see what else. A haunted house book I read this year I really liked was The Grip of It by
Ooh, I haven't read that one
Jack
yet.
Jemke. I think I'm probably
Okay.
butchering her name, unfortunately. But it was very much like it's like House of Leaves without all of the like ergodic literature part of a piece
Yeah.
of it, where it's like
Okay.
it's a kind of unorthodox haunted house book. And I like that one quite a bit. So yeah, those are
Nice.
God, I have so many books downstairs that I love this year that
Yeah.
it's hard to like just give only a handful of recommendations.
I feel that.
Yeah, I read Peter Straub's Ghost Story for the first time this year at the beginning of the year.
Cool.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Love that. Yeah, I think I've got so many other books to read coming up too. I'm reading Delilah Dawson's Ravenloft book right now.
Whoa.
And I just
Love
picked
her.
up her House of Idyll, her
So
rock and
good.
roll book,
Yeah.
which sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So that's another one that's on my upcoming TBR. And Christina Henry's The Place Where They Buried Your Heart. I'm going to be reading that over the next couple weeks as well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
There's so much good horror.
So
There's
much.
so
It's
much.
crazy. I have like just behind me here, like I have three shelves of like TBR right
Yeah.
now of like stuff that like I'm like excited to read. And it's just so loaded right now. I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through all of that. Get to everything,
It's
So
crazy. You can't see the like massive piles on the floor next to me of all like just
yeah.
the ones I've brought home in the last like month that I just don't have room on my shelves for yet that I'm like, there's so much.
Yeah. Oh, I got to show your audience something really cool, real quick, actually.
Oh, heck yeah.
So I'm sure everyone here loves book porn.
Yes.
And this is the most pornographic book I've seen yet. So this is the new edition of Dracula from Blackstone Publishing, which is coming out, I believe, next week. So check this out.
So excited.
So
Oh,
it's this. It's like a gorgeous cover. Check out these sprayed edges.
wow. That's
So freaking cool.
gorgeous. That's so beautiful.
And then it's also illustrated as well. Let's see. Where's the illustration? Yeah, there we go. So it's also got like
Oh, I
illustrations.
will be owning that. Yes.
Yeah. I'm such a geek for sprayed edges. And so here's the other.
Oh, look at that.
Pretty cool. And actually,
Oh.
sorry, this is making me go crazy right now.
Oh
But
my
my
God.
other sprayed edge pickup I got recently was this gorgeous copy of Ring.
I have that.
You have it?
I
Yeah.
have that.
Isn't this cool?
It's
Yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
That
So,
was,
oh
oh
God,
my
I don't think I
God.
showed you the bottom spray
Oh
edge
my
also. It's like,
God, look at that. All
yeah. So
right.
anyway, yeah, Bram Stoker's Dracula from the fine folks at
Oh
Blackstone
my
Publishing who put
God.
out my books. And they were kind enough to send me an advanced copy of this thing, which is, I
So
feel like I need like a
beautiful.
pedestal or something to keep it on.
Right? You need to like put it in like a glass dome and like have it like rotate with a light.
Yes, exactly. With like lasers around it and stuff. Like, one of those laser grids that you have to Tom Cruise your way through if you want to access it.
Yes,
I feel like I
exactly.
need like a really ostentatious way to display it because this
Oh
is
man.
just honestly one of the
That
most
is
gorgeous books I've ever
beautiful.
seen. So just
That
had to
is
geek
so
out for a
beautiful.
second
Absolutely. I mean, this
with
is
your
the right
audience.
place to do that. And to anyone listening, I promise you, Gibson's will get that in. So if you want to order it, we'll have it.
Yes.
Oh man.
Go get it from
Go get
Gibson's.
it from Gibson's.
Yeah.
All right. We have a few great questions in the chat.
Sweet.
Jason wants to know, what was the earliest scary book or film that you remember from your youth that you would say shaped your love of the horror genre?
Ooh, that's a great question. So the first horror movie I remember watching is Killer Clowns from Outer Space,
Incredible.
which scared the hell out of me. I actually have a tattoo of the popcorn clown on my leg.
Yes.
Which I'd show your audience, except because of the position of my camera, it would be really awkward. So it's on my Instagram somewhere, I'm sure.
Beautiful.
So yeah, Killer Clowns was one of, I just remember being so actually horrified by it. Like, because my only experience with clowns up to that point was going to like the circus and like, or watching like, I don't know, I think Bozo was before my time. But like watching, I don't know, there were clowns on, kids shows, Ronald
For sure.
McDonald. I remember
Yes.
Ronald McDonald. And being like, oh my God, clowns can be evil, and just feeling like kind of sickened by
Yeah.
even the idea. So that was my first. There was also like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I loved as a kid, except like my parents would get mad at me when I'd read these books. I'd read them in the school library because my parents would get mad at me, not because of the content, but because like I wouldn't be able to sleep afterwards. And I would be up all night like scared. And I just remember the scariest story from that as a kid that affected me was the story about being on the subway and realizing the rider next to you was dead.
Yes.
That
Ooh.
one freaked me out.
So creepy.
And yeah, and there were a couple other kind of like ghost type books in the school library that were like, I can't even remember their titles now, but were kind of similar to that. And all those like real life ghost stories really, really freaked me the hell out.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And they just in the last couple of years they re-released all the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books with the really creepy illustrations and the
Ooh.
horrifying covers, and oh,
Those
it's
were so creepy.
great. They're so creepy.
Yeah. And then I'll just throw in a bonus one too. The thing that has shaped me the most as an artist, and I'm not joking when I say this, is the 1987 Garfield's Halloween Adventure special.
Incredible, do tell.
Yep, exactly. So that was my favorite special as a kid, and I remember watching it so many times. And it's, Garfield and Odie go trick-or-treating. They end up on this island where like the cabin boy lives who stole a bunch of pirate treasure. The timeline's kind of weird here, because pirates are like 300 or 400 years old, but this is happening in contemporary times somehow. But anyway, then there's this moment where the pirate they Garfield and Odie realize the ghost pirates are coming back for their treasure. And I just remember they run around the house and look for a place to hide, and you can see the glow coming out of the water and like coming up the path. And I just remember being so scared watching it.
Oh
And then I realized later on, that there's other kinds, like, the first part of the special is actually kind of a primer on different kinds of horror. There's
no.
even like a reference to like The King in Yellow, for example.
Okay, okay.
And stuff like that. So you kind of like learn a lot as a kid about different kinds of horror just by watching this special.
That's really cool.
So yeah, that's one of the ones that I always go back to. It's on YouTube now, so y'all can watch it
Amazing.
right now if you
Fantastic.
for free if you want to. Also, really fun fact that blows my mind. Two people have played both Garfield the Cat and Peter Venkman from Ghostbusters. And they're Bill Murray and Lorenzo Music, who Like, so Lorenzo Music voiced Garfield in the special and in every TV special, I believe. He also
Okay.
played Peter Venkman in the animated Ghostbusters.
Oh
Bill
my
Murray obviously
gosh.
played Peter Venkman in the live action Ghostbusters and then played Garfield in the Garfield movies.
Wow.
They
What
are the
a
only two men on Earth who have done
fascinating.
that.
That's amazing. What
I
a
know,
great fun fact.
that is one of my favorite fun facts.
That
I
is
just think about like
delightful.
this amazing small like smallest club possible with Peter Venkman and and Garfield.
Garfield.
It's
That's
incredible.
incredible. Matt wants to know, you've gained quite a cult-like following. Would your followers be called Brianites
Asmanian devils, I believe, is the preferred terminology now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, someone needs to start a face. Like, I don't want to administer a Facebook group, but like Philip Fricasso has his Fricasso Freaks, and Duncan Ralston has his previously called Woomies group, and there are a
Right.
couple groups like that. Someone should start one for me. I don't
Yeah.
have time to administer it, but
You need
someone.
the Asmanian devils. That's extremely
Yes,
good.
please do.
That's perfect. All right, let's see. If you could meet any author, past or present, to have a drink and talk about their works or writing in general, who would you choose?
Ooh,
I
that
love
is
this
a
question.
great question. One of my biggest influences as a writer is the comic book author Garth Ennis, who's best
Okay,
known for
yeah.
Preacher and The Boys, amongst other things. And so I'd love to have a drink with him and chat about writing because one, because like he was one of my biggest influences, and also because I feel like he'd be really fun to drink with.
Yeah.
So, as a crazed Irishman, I think that would be absolutely incredible, and I'd love to hear some behind the scenes stuff from his days on Preacher and all the other stuff he's done over the years. So,
That.
if I'm going with a living one, it would be him. If I was going with a dead writer, I think I would have to go with Charles Bukowski,
Ooh, interesting.
just
Okay.
to just for the story,
Yeah,
you know.
that's fair.
Although I'd say John Fonte would be up there as well.
Okay. I
Yeah.
love this. Great answers. Great
Got it.
answers. Amazing. I think that might be all the questions we have in the chat. I will remind everyone that Man Fuck This House and Other Disasters is available at Gibson's Bookstore. We ship anywhere, as my buddy Matt in the chat knows. He lives very far away and is one of my best customers.
And Matt's been one of my best readers over the years too, so it's kind of ironic.
Everybody loves Matt. Yeah, and I will also, when this goes up in the podcast feed, I will also link to the other books that you mentioned. I'll throw those in there as well because they are also great. Brian, thank you so much. This
Ryan, thank you for
was
having
amazing.
me. Yeah, I had an absolute blast. This is so much fun. And hopefully, when I have my next book come out, I can come back on.
Yes, or come out to New Hampshire. We
Yes.
have foliage.
I would love to. I've actually never even been to New Hampshire, so
Oh my
I would
God,
love
you
to
gotta come.
go.
You
Yes,
gotta
I would
come.
love to go, especially in the fall,
Yeah.
obviously. So it's on my list. Believe me, I want to get everywhere.
Yes.
And right now, it's just a matter of convincing other people to pay for me to get everywhere. So,
100%. I'll start working on Blackstone. I'll start.
yeah, I'm like, you know what? If you all buy like a bunch of copies of my current book for your friends and family, and then tell them to, like, if you all buy five copies and tell a friend to buy five copies, and that friend tells another friend to buy five copies, I think I might be able to go everywhere I want next year if we can get a chain going like
Perfect.
that, you
This
know?
is such a good plan. I'm so here
Yes.
for this.
And I will personally come to anyone's town if this sells enough copies to make Blackstone pay for everything.
Incredible.
Will be no
Flawless.
limit to the book tour. My next
Just
book, I can't really
forever.
say too much about it right now, but there will be likely a special tour aspect for the next
Excellent.
book. The book involves a certain mode of transportation.
Oh my God.
And that
Okay.
mode of transportation will be utilized as much as possible during the tour.
Oh, I'm
Okay, I'll tell you what
excited.
it is. It's
Yeah,
the
please.
Dahlgren Band from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh. That's so funny. You're
Yeah,
so funny.
it's actually a slasher set on a hot air balloon, and so I'll be taking a yeah, I'll be taking a hot air balloon from stop to stop. Yeah,
This I
eventually
just
when we announce, I think we'll announce the book early next year, actually, because for reasons we're keeping it secret for now, which will probably make sense. We my. My f Brendan, my film agent, wants to get the book to other to like Hollywood first and see if we can
Yeah,
get
that
a
makes
deal
sense.
prior to announcing the title.
Yeah.
So I'm probably saying too much, but luckily we're all friends here, right?
All friends. We're not gonna tell anybody.
So anyway, book tour next year. There will hopefully be a very special conveyance that is themed to the theme of the book.
I cannot wait. Thanks so much for everyone who joined us live. If you're listening on the podcast, how dare you not register, but also go buy this book. And Brian, thanks again. This was awesome. You're the best.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me on. This is super great, and thanks to everyone who is tuning in now and who came live to our virtual event.
Amazing. Have a great night, everybody.
Bye, everyone.